I'd like to welcome you all to our meeting here to review the annual report of the Auditor General for the year 2006-2007. We have with us and is this the state of parliamentary furniture? I hope the Auditor General takes note. And Manchester, as you get redeployed. The full complement of the Auditor General's team is the Auditor General, Mr. Mwembe, the Deputy Auditor General, Mr. Makwetu, Mr. Wandile Chutani, who is the Business Executive of Governance. Welcome to you, Mr. Chutani. We have Adil Kamadin, who is the Senior Manager in the Corporate League Secretariat. Welcome to you. Okay. Just in terms of our way of dealing with these issues, of going through the report, my proposal is, as we've normally done, is to just go through it systematically, chapter by chapter. Now, I notice that there are a number of journalists, and everyone is sitting in very difficult seats. There seems to be two seats available here. I just want to keep one seat in case another member arrives. I don't know if journalists want to fight amongst themselves who will grab those two seats, but there are just two seats there if anyone would want to take a seat. Okay. Maybe the oldest and the most senior, I don't know. Who would that be? Okay. Ms. Nombele, do you have any opening comments that you would like to make, or would you like us to just go straight into the report?
Chair, perhaps the... can you hear me? Perhaps the broad opening comment would relate to the fact that the report was indeed tabled on time, and the report was also audited by the external auditors. So whatever the content of the report showed here, they would reflect an independent review of our external auditors, which is BDO. Both of which comments are focusing on the financial aspects of the business as well as the operational aspects. And they have concluded on both reviews that the information is indeed a representation of the results as stated in this thing. Let me change the seat anyway. Let me just repeat from the comment I made about the role of the auditors, that they look at both the financial aspects of the business as well as the operational aspects of the business, and they have, in terms of the Public Audit Act, concluded and gave an opinion that the information presented before us is a fair presentation of the state of affairs as it exists in the office, both operationally as well as financially. I guess what then remains would be for us now to look at the details of each of the operational aspects of the business in particular. I mention that because it is the first time that we presented this information in this format, which was more of a strategic highlight of the issues that the office would be focusing on. And as members would have noticed, there are areas where some of the targets were achieved, there are areas where some of the targets were not achieved, and we will be happy to deal with each of the aspects as we get into the section of the strategic objectives. So that would be in a nutshell the essence of the content of this report.
Good. Thank you.
Yes, I prefer what the Auditor General has said, and also bearing in mind that we are a relatively new committee and we haven't had time to really to actually know how we're going to approach this. I would assume that the purpose of this meeting is really to get clarity on matters rather than to comment on statements made in the report. Am I wrong there?
I don't understand very much the difference between the two.
No, what I mean, you know, there are a lot of very good aspects here where one would like to congratulate the Auditor General in the area where one would require or want more information, as I think Clarence has indicated, in terms of their strategic goals, which you can't unpack in a document like this in any depth. Is that what we really about?
Stuart?
Since you're happy to say my view, I think there's an oversight exercise to be the body that looked at the auditor's budget at the beginning of this financial term. We looked at the performance that he intended to achieve against that budget. It's now the end of the term, and we have to exercise oversight to see whether he achieved that both in financial and in performance terms, and to just get the full accounting along those lines. I think that's the standard process.
We're all happy with our approach. Okay, could we then move on to the report itself? We have the comments of the Auditor General. Are there any matters that anybody would like, and that's on page 7 onwards, any comments anybody would like to make on the comments? And I, you know, with not wanting to get into the substance of the issues that we will be dealing with. So if there's anything not. Okay. Okay. Then we're dealing with corporate governance matters, the chapter on corporate governance. May I make one comment, and it's not directed to the Auditor General's office, but I do believe that maybe it would be a good idea if the Standing Committee on the Auditor General has more of an input just here on the corporate governance issue. Well, not an input, but we did do an extensive review of the corporate governance arrangements at the beginning of this year of the Auditor General's office. And in the comments here, it says that we are still, that SCOAG is tasked with assisting, and in cooperation with the AG, SCOAG is in the process of reviewing the Institute's governance model. My sense is that we've reached more or less finality on that governance model in that workshop that we had, where all those documents that we received. I don't want us to discuss that now, but I think it's very important from us as an oversight committee that we have final approval then of that corporate governance model in its entirety, because if members will remember, there were all the different attachments and whatever, and the terms of reference for the different committees and institutions responsible for corporate governance. And maybe we should just formally sign off on that so that we have that. So that is one of the issues I'd like to raise. any other matters that anyone would want to raise under this matter of governance and the reporting thereon? Mr. Gomez.
Thank you, sir. Chair, I do not see whether the mission statement is in this report. Is it part of the introduction of corporate governance or exactly what is that guides the Office of the Auditor General and in its priorities? Thanks.
I think that's a fair comment. I think you would want to have just in the beginning of every annual report your mission statement, vision, etc., etc. Dr. Wood?
Yes,
that's not a direct governance issue, but and then this section comments on various committees supportive to the Auditor General. There's that committee which I think is referred to in the Act. If I'm correct, it's an advisory committee. So while I accept that it doesn't have to be reported on, just as a question of interest, is that committee still existent? And if the Auditor General can tell us how useful that committee is being, I would find it interesting.
Okay. before the Auditor General goes to report on that, are there any other matters relating to the section on governance? Okay.
I'm not sure that it's 100% with governance. It's actually in the Mr. Bemis introduction where he speaks of the introduction of a reputation index. I don't find anywhere at the fourth bridge.
It does deal with it, and then we'll get to it. We don't deal with it in the any other matters there? Mr. John?
Thank you. I'm not sure on table one, it's a very minor issue, whether we should really talk about, as we talk about the committee on Auditor General, affiliations of parties to be stipulated, and also trying to get a sense of the understanding of this very committee. Here it is mentioned that it supports members of the standing committee on Auditor General, ANC, DA, and so on and so forth. I'm not sure about the relevance of that for a committee of this nature, if you could guide me on that for future purposes.
Do you want to comment on that, Mr. Stevens? Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I think what the Honourable Member says has a lot of merit to it. Mr. Trent and I have also discussed it. But I think under the particular circumstances of... And by the way, I agree with the sentiments that is expressed in a committee like this. The party structure is not really all that relevant. But in terms of our constitution, we are not individual members elected as members. We are all representatives of a party. We're all on party lists. And therefore, I think it cannot really be left out that we are in fact here representing our parties, whether we like it or not. But that is, we're not individually elected, let's put it that way.
You know, I think
that
this is, I don't want to linger too much on this issue, but you know, SCOFA has the understanding that it regards itself as non-partisan, as it were. And I think that is the kind of where we would want to be, that we do represent political parties, but in our style of operating, we operate along the SCOFA style. I think we can discuss that further, you know, and reach agreement in the committee around that, but let's not discuss it now because it's not generally relevant. But I think it's a matter that we need, as a committee, when we're looking at our corporate governance issue, to say whether we wouldn't want it incorporated in our terms of reference as a style of operation, a non-partisan style of operation. Okay. Dr. Wood?
Just on the same table. I'm saying it could be stopped to if you teach
it. And also one other issue I would like to raise from a corporate governance point of view, and I know that Parliament is a difficult environment because most of us, every one of us, sits on different committees, and often attendance is determined, attendance on this committee is determined by your other engagements on other committees like Finance and SCOFA. But in all reports of boards of directors now in terms of corporate governance and whatever, it is recorded the attendance of the number of meetings held by the board of directors plus the attendance of each member. I don't want us to discuss that now, but I just draw that to your attention because that is standard corporate governance practice. And I think it would give Parliament comfort to know that this is a committee that is functioning properly, and as in the private sector, you give comfort to your shareholders that your board of directors is a properly functioning thing. So that is another matter I think that we need to refer to when we look at our terms of reference as a committee. Okay. Yeah.
Just out of interest, I noticed the Remuneration Committee, if I have it correctly, sat only once on the 12th of March. Just a question whether that is sufficient. for them to actually do their work, the stuff that they have to do.
Okay, could we take those two questions, Dr. Witt's question and then Mr. Trent's question?
Thank you, Chair. I do agree that certainly the status of the government model, it does need to be defined, and I think we take a note that we will need to make arrangements with the government team to have that document formalized as soon as possible. Because I'm also not aware that there's anything outstanding on that document that cannot be now be brought into the finality. With regard to, let me just comment on the mission and the vision not being here. We had looked at the interpretation of the Constitution, the mission and the vision, all of which have got statements that point to what this organization is about. And we have worked on this reputation promise, which does comprehend all the contents of those statements. And we thought that by just making reference to the reputation promise, it will actually get to the essence of what is it over and above what's contained in all the documents that we're promising in the public. But we can also, I guess, do, I mean, provide space for those as well. But
what we'd like to do is, in a sense,
I'm just going to interrupt now. We have a faulty mic with the Auditor General. And we can't operate under these circumstances because he's going to be one of the people who's going to be commenting most. Can we find a place where the Auditor General can speak into a mic that is operative? Because it plays out, Mr. Mbembe. Johnny, could you get hold of the technical people so that they can come and sort out this problem? Because otherwise, we've got the Deputy Auditor General having to share with the Auditor General.
Yes. Chair, let me just rephrase the comment on the vision and mission. Just say that we would like indeed to paraphrase the contents of those statements into what we've termed the reputation promise, against which we then liaise and get feedback from the stakeholders on the steps to which that promise, simply put, is actually being achieved by the organization. But what we'll do in the future will be to also put the raw statements of the mission and vision as well, so that when we do paraphrase it in that form, the context can be better understood. So that's what we will do. The status of the advisory board was another question that was raised. Yes, indeed, the advisory board still exists, and the intention, that's what I've worked on, is to meet with that advisory board at least once a year to have a reflection on the activities of the office, so that it also kept informed, and to reflect on other matters that perhaps the office should be looking at from an executive point of view, so that when I do come here to Scoway, at least